Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
I don't need to sit at your table. We building one.
Come on, somebody.
This boy got a hit.
We're in the process of building a tank.
We wanted someone who knows exactly what it is to be the last team standing in February and is passionate about doing it again. That man is the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Doug Peterson.
Yesterday's price is not today's price. He's certified.
I want to win, and that's what I can bring to the Jacksonville Jaguars, to this community, and to our fan base.
Hello.
Trayvon, Coach Peterson.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I can't complain now.
Not complain now. I hear you, brother. I hear you. I'm so fired up to make you a Jacksonville Jaguar.
In the 2022 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trayvon Walker.
It's not an overnight fit, and sometimes patience could be a virtue.
Patience is a virtue. Man, we lost patience with the last dude.
We're going to put together a roster that hopefully one day can win a championship.
So I'm excited for him now going to Jacksonville with the young quarterback. He's going to be able to spread his play.
He's going to go deep, and there is Christian Kirk, who's wide open, and Kirk will score on the first play from scrimmage. 75 yards.
I can truly say that I'm playing the most free-minded and just pressure-free and relaxed football that I've felt in a while.
And I want to win more games, for sure. I want to be a respected linebacker across the league, and I want people to give me that respect at the end of the year.
I just have to say, for me, like, it's not about living up to the expectations, because it's something that I've been doing ever since I was a little kid.
He's sacked that time by Trayvon Walker.
Once I get the opportunity, just maximize my opportunity that I have and do my best.
Having this new opportunity in a new organization, new team, around some new teammates, I can truly just be myself and focus on being the best that I can be for these guys and being the leader and just going out there and putting it all on the line for them, because I truly believe we have such a great group.
That's, you know, something that I had success in Philadelphia and want to bring that same mindset and mentality to Jacksonville.
You're talking dirty to me, and I kind of like it.
Duval! Your problem! You still at the bottom! You pissed because they didn't give you an award. Award for what?
I really do have a strong belief that we're going to do some great things here.
Man, y'all get off of T-Law.
I don't got to sit at your table. I'm building my own table. And I will build you a table in the presence of your enemy.
Duval, man. I don't think y'all as ready as I am. Man, we're going to turn up, man. We're going to turn this thing around, man. Let's go.
Duval!
This boy got a hit.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Jeff Lagerman, and E to the T.
All right, good morning, everybody. That'll get you fired up right there. You know, hearing a lot of talk about patience, I'm not going to have any this year. I expect that, I don't know, less than a month into Doug Peterson's first season, I want him to be in first place in the AFC South. And in position to be one of the top seeds in the AFC playoff picture. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be patient.
I got it.
Yeah. I got it. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well.
Oh, my gosh. You watched a couple of teams struggle offensively last night on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And you're like, that ain't us right now. It's kind of nice, you know?
No.
Hung 38, high water mark for the week in the National Football League.
Even the game they lost against Washington, the ball moves.
It moved
the
all season
Jaguars.
For the most part.
It moved when the starting offense was on the field in the preseason. It feels like this offense is going to move.
Let's move over to Jeff Lagerman. Good morning, Logs. How are you?
Good.
Check the Tape Tuesday is in full effect. I bet you enjoyed watching the tape this week.
Yeah. No, it was good all the way around, and did it at Mile High. You know, we had a long trip back, so was able to get most of that done on the airplane ride. Before dozing off.
Okay,
those West Coast trips suck.
I'm way over airplane travel at this stage of my life.
Not my favorite, but I'm, you know what? I'm really glad that that Doug Peterson decided to go on a Saturday. I'm a big believer in Saturday travel, and I just never really understood why coaches would ever want to travel to the West Coast on a Friday. It just changes the mindset of your team in a negative way.
Yeah, and let me ask you, because Belichick went to Miami. Now, that was to get acclimated to the humidity.
Yeah, that's
right?
a bunch of BS. You can't acclimate in that period
of time. Not
5 days,
right? No. But, like, was that a mistake when you consider South Florida nightlife, right? And this for the week one opener.
It's a mistake twofold in that one, and it is a distraction when you're down there.
Because
now guys are like, hey, man, what are we going to do while we're down there,
right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And the other part of that is that you're trying to get acclimated to the heat in a very short period of time, which you cannot do. And then you're practicing in it, so you're dehydrating for more days than just a game. So that mindset, that thought process just doesn't work for me. It always has to be a business trip. You travel on Saturday, play on Sunday, and get it done.
I know Jaguar fans are the ones who have to sit there and bear the brunt of the heat, right? And they've talked about needing shade and wanting shade and all that, and that's eventually, we hope, coming, right? It's something the Jags have recognized.
Yeah, because I can tell you that this past game in L.A. with that kind of roof and then it's open, it was tremendous. I mean, tremendous.
The Dolphins have had that for years.
Yeah, no, I think that would be fantastic. But you would still have the element of heat. You don't lose that advantage, so to speak, just because you have shade.
But my point being, isn't it to the Jags' advantage? Like, I know fans are like, oh, send those September games somewhere else. To me, look at Buffalo. They could not deal with that heat in Miami this week. You know, I mean, to me, that's a tremendous advantage if you get the schedule to fall where you get a Northeast team coming in here, they're chance they're ready for that.
But I remember a few years ago when Buffalo came in the opener and just absolutely crushed the Jaguars. I think it was opening day.
Sure, you got to have it was a team that's capable of competing. But I think in terms of being a difference maker, you know, Miami's a pretty good team. You know, before
surprise
they played
me,
the
I can tell you that. But
hey,
kudos
the playoffs,
to them,
baby. Woo!
Did you really?
I did. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, good.
Yeah, man. They've got playmakers out the wazoo on that squad.
Yeah, got some playmakers in that Philly team coming up this week,
they
too.
Do, and we'll obviously take a look at that. Let's start with the number one playmaker right now for the Jacksonville Jaguars at the quarterback position, Trevor
really
Lawrence. His quarterback rating wasn't as good as the week before. I was more impressed with this performance because I thought he had more high degree of difficulty throws to make. What did you see when you watched the film?
Really impressive. He had a couple throws that I'm sure that he would like to have back that went a little bit high early in the process, but then settled down once again. Completion percentage was high. I mean, you're talking about back-to-back 100-plus rating games. But when you look at the eye test, some of the throws that he made, a couple of them come to mind that were just ridiculous. The throw to Evan Engram that wasn't a touchdown, that should have been a touchdown if Evan can keep his feet in, was tremendous. Mm-hmm. I mean, a broken play on the run and can throw it into a tight window in
that's
a small
a four
spot.
Four-touchdown day.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The touchdown to Zay Jones was a broken play. And so now it's scramble rules. He's scrambling out of the pocket. And then on the run, Zay redirects and probably going to show this on social media, Jaguars Twitter, is that he redirects, and then when he does, Trevor sees it sooner, I think, than any other quarterback would see it, and then from the run makes a throw that literally nobody can even contest the catch. I mean, that's how accurate, how decisive that throw was made from the run. The throw that he makes to Marvin Jones in the back of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Couple things happening there. First of all, great pocket. Great pocket, and kudos to the offensive line. You know, it helped having Bosa get injured and be out. I mean, that can't be denied. But still, they did a very good job and gave him a perfect pocket. He identifies that it's man coverage, and he knows what he has in Marvin Jones, a guy that can make a contested catch. And he also knows that with man coverage, the chances of the defensive back turning around aren't very likely. So he makes the throw literally in an incredibly small window in the only area in which that it can be caught. I mean, it was just a thing of absolute beauty. And those two throws impressed the hell out of me.
I thought we talked a lot coming out of the Indianapolis game about how good the offensive game plan was, right? With what they were going to be dealing with that week, knowing that Gus Bradley likes to play three guys. He plays his defense the way he plays his defense, so you take advantage of those shorter routes. I thought watching the way that they called the offense this week, getting Zay Jones as many looks as they did, was a product of, okay, they have a guy like Derwin James that may be able to take away, you know, a guy like Christian Kirk at times or Evan Engram at times.
They double Christian Kirk
right,
often.
In the middle of the field. So the pivot was, we feel fine. You want to make us throw it to Zay Jones 12 times. I'm just impressed in back-to-back weeks now with how much the game plan feels like it's changing week to week for this Jaguars.
Well, I think what impressed me about the game plan is that I'm not in the coaching meetings, but I thought going into this game that the most important thing that you had to do was to run the ball effectively. And effectively doesn't mean just hand the ball off and being happy with 2 yards of carry.
Sure.
You have to run it and run it successfully. And you had to do that in this game just because of those two edge rushers, and then Derwin James can be a blitzer pass rusher, and you just got to slow the train down, so to speak, that the Chargers had. And that's exactly what they did. They ran the ball with success. James Robinson was impactful. Etienne was impactful. And I think that was the key to this ball game. And then Trevor's efficiency once again. Now, Trevor, right before our very eyes, I mean, we're watching him take an incredible jump in year two, and it's a lot of fun to watch, and he handles it so well. He's very humble, and I think he's very appreciative of what those guys around them do, and he also, I think, appreciates greatly the coaching staff that he has in place, and he recognizes the difference that they're making in his game and then also this team's game, because it has been truly impactful. From the top all the way down through the coaching staff.
Sorry, I thought you were done there. You talk about Christian Kirk being doubled, right? He's still got 9 targets in the game. So were there instances, though, where you could tell on film, like they took away Kirk as the first read, and you could see Trevor make that adjustment?
Yep, and that's great. I mean, look, if you can get teams to double Christian, you know, it's going to open some other things up. And, the unique thing about Christian Kirk is that he plays the game in a way that you can hide him a lot of times. So when you put him in the backfield, or you motion him into the backfield, or you start him in the backfield, or you put him in a slot, there's ways to hide those guys. When you put him out wide as an X or as a Z in an offense, sometimes you can't hide him. It just allows the team to be able to double a lot easier. But I give the Chargers credit. It was a little bit of a chess match because, you know, you've got – Brandon Staley, the head coach of the Chargers, who's a defensive guy, and he calls the defensive calls. And then you've got Doug Peterson, who's the offensive guy for the Jaguars, and he makes the calls. And so you've got two of these brilliant minds, one on offense and one on defense, facing each other. And the fact that Brandon Staley was able to find a way to double Christian Kirk is impressive, because other teams haven't really found a way to do that or have had any success in doing it or trying to find a way to limit his opportunities. And Staley did a good job. And Doug Peterson alluded to that after the game in his press conference, which it's not very often that you hear a head coach talk about the chess match that he is in with another coach. And Doug Peterson talked very succinctly about that. And that was impressive to me, because it shows that Doug was very impressed with the approach of the Chargers defense.
Well, let me tell you, Tony and I talked about it a little bit last week. The Chargers had shut down slot receivers in the first 2 weeks. I mean, really, like 35 yards a game, something like that. So Christian Kirk basically doubled that output and got a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously the scoreboard tells you who won the chess match in a resounding fashion, but even that battle, just because they slowed Christian Kirk a little bit, showed you how good this Jaguar game planning has been early in the season, that they still got him 6 catches. Should have been 7, right? It looked like he had a drop on that one across the middle.
Yeah, that was a drop.
Right, so, you know, that'd be 7 catches near 100 yards if he hauls that one in, maybe 90 yards with a touch. So pretty damn productive
three weeks.
That's a good debut right there.
Yeah, he's just been so professional and the way that he goes about it. And I think that there was a very purposeful way that they approach free agency, and you got to give Trent and Doug credit for this, because – when you look at the free agent that they've brought in to put around Trevor, you know, Evan Engram, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and watching these guys all in training camp and watching how they interact, watching how they work, watching how they have fun, I mean, you just watch everything about them. These guys are very serious about their craft. They're not playing grab ass in practice. They're focused. And for a young quarterback that you're trying to dial in, I mean, that's exactly what you want. I mean, you want to have professionals around him. I mean, if you've got a bunch of young guys that aren't sure what they're doing and think that this is, you know, they're still on scholarship, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's interesting. You compare it to the 2017 team, the last time the Jags were good for a full season, that was team swag, right? I mean, they're all about the swag, and mm-hmm. certain elements of the fan base absolutely love that, you know, a certain percentage of the fan base. And I think this team has swag, but I think it's more like a quiet confidence, like a professional, like, we know in our hearts, we believe we're good. You can say we know. You haven't won enough games to maybe really know, but they believe that they're good. They believe they're going to win that game going out to L.A. Didn't surprise them. And instead of, you know, having some crazy over-the-top locker room, it's just like, okay, you know, like, the, so what, now what? You know, there's a little, gets easy to overplay that, but that's kind of what they're trying to do. Like, hey, I get it as a fan base. First win in L.A., all that's great. For us, we're new here, man. We expected to go out there and get that win.
Yeah, and you could kind of feel the vibe on the plane a little bit. You know, a lot of times you're on a plane ride like that, and on the way back, it kind of is like it's very festive. And they were very happy, and they were, you know, you could tell that they were celebrating the win, but it wasn't an over-the-top kind of a celebration. It was like, you know, okay, we did what we thought we were going to do. It wasn't like a celebration, like, holy cow, we won. Right. Can you believe it? It wasn't that attitude.
No, we believe in victory chance.
No.
None of that, huh? All right. We've got Jeff Loggeman here with us on what should be another happy victory Tuesday, checking the tape on the Jaguars 38-10 demolishing of the L.A. Chargers. If you've got questions for Jeff Loggeman, we'd love to hear what they are, and that is your Chad and Sandy real estate question of the day, asking you what are your Jaguars-related questions for Jeff Loggeman. You can submit them on the phone lines at 641-1010. Same number for the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Or hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Logs56, and at IME2 the T.
Oh,
E.T., how are you doing this morning,
man?
I feel like we haven't bonded much today.
Actually, we did, because you know when you do that little shoulder thing?
I did a little shimmy.
And it come right to
well,
me.
Well, you know, during the open, you had me chair dancing. There's no question about
that.
I might do it, but just for you, though. That's why we don't live stream this one on the web, at least at the present time.
And give them everything.
All right. We will come back, and we'll get into your questions for Jeff Loggeman on a Check the Tape Victory Tuesday, the best possible kind there is. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And I'm so encouraged to know that we actually got a team that's going to be competitive each and every game, and it's because of that burn coach we got. I mean, he knows how to win. He did it at every level, and I'm just as excited as a twin of mine if I had twins. But I just want to let y'all know, boy, talk about them saber-tooth tigers. I'm right along with that feller now.
Jeff Loggeman Tuesday on Jaguars Today is brought to you by Famous Automotive Tire and Quick Lube, servicing every customer like they're famous on 1010XL.
It's one of our new favorite callers, Robert, who joined the program yesterday. The Holiday and Robert Show, I'm
so
telling you.
Good.
That's that other feller he was talking
the
about.
Other feller.
With the saber-tooth tigers and stuff. I love it, man. You know what? We're going to bring every area of Duval County together.
Sports unite.
Nothing unites like the Jacksonville Jaguars in this city. It's awesome. I loved it, man. I thought it was fantastic. They're stacked up to talk to Logs, so let's not make them wait any longer. Tone, let's go to Dave in Mandarin at 641-1010. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing great. What's up?
Hey, man. Hey, Logs. I want to thank you, man, for the memories back in the late 90s. Unbelievable team we had back then, and with Brackens and Thunder and Lightning, yourself and Bo. I tell you what, man, that was some amazing times. It really was, man. And I just wonder what you think about this day and age, man. Our rookies are doing something that they're not supposed to do. I don't understand it, man. But let me tell you something. I'm an avid Jaguar fan from day one, and I'm looking forward to another win. This is going to roll like nobody's business, man. And I want to buy you a sub from Andy Sub. Right?
Well, you can meet me there at about 2:00, or you can buy me one.
There you go. Buy them two.
Meet all of us there.
Yeah, it brought up the late '90s. In fact, a little little name blast from the past. I got a phone call today, this morning, from Clyde Simmons.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I called him back. He didn't answer. So we're playing phone tag, but I hope to connect with him later today. One of the great players in early Jaguars history, who also happened to be one of the great players in Philadelphia Eagles history.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder, is he doing like Philly radio or anything like that? I wonder if he wanted to get you on.
Well, he was coaching in the NFL for quite some time.
So okay.
I thought he was still coaching, but
maybe he is.
I'll find out today.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Let's bring back those times.
Yeah.
Take it just a few steps farther. Josh on the West Side, next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Josh.
How's it going, fellas?
Going great.
How are you doing this great Tuesday? I called in last week whenever we had David Garrard in, Jeff Lagerman, big fan, man. Whenever I'm not watching the game or at work, I'm listening on the radio. I hear you break it down with some of the best. But straight to the question. A couple of them. First off, I've watched Trevor's highlights and I've seen some of the gameplay over the couple of weeks. What do you think are his biggest improvements, and how has the rush game helped him? And then as far as our defense, like the previous caller said, we're used to, you know, people hanging 40, 50, 60 sometimes points on us. How have they really turned it around in one season?
Two great questions. The first part is, you know, what's the biggest improvement with Trevor? I think there's a lot of improvement around Trevor that has allowed Trevor to be better. His accuracy, I think, is the first thing that you really have to look at and say, wow, what a big improvement. You know, looking at his completion percentage last year, and I made a note of this, he's up 10%.
Right. And, Logs, let me just interject really quickly, because there were too many people, not you, I'm not saying it here, there were too many people here locally, I felt, that were just setting the bar too low. I kept hearing, oh, Trevor's not going to be that kind of guy that completes a high percentage of his passes. Why? He was the number one overall freaking pick in the draft, supposed to be this once-in-a-decade opportunity talent. Mm-hmm. In today's NFL, you're damn right you better complete a high 60-something percent of your passes.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way of the league.
Absolutely.
Now, if you're going to be good, then you've got to be 70-plus.
The league leaders are now in the 70s,
yep.
Right?
Which
exactly.
Is crazy.
So there's no reason why Trevor can't live in the 66 to 70% range ultimately.
Well, and watching him the last 2 weeks, you know, he's been above that. That's awesome. You know, I think the other thing, too, is that you can really tell that he is understanding the offense, and I think that's a lot of hard work on his part, but I think that's also some really good coaching, and that it's allowing him to be more decisive. I mean, if you look at the numbers, Trevor is actually releasing the ball at a faster rate this year than he did last mm-hmm. year, to the tune of about 0.4 seconds faster. And that's a big jump.
Yeah.
I mean, to go from, I think it was 2.8 to – or whatever it was last year, down by 0.4 seconds. I mean, that's a significant jump. So, and then also, you know, I mean, look, the guys around him are better. I mean, so I think that's part of it too. So there's a lot of improvement around him and then a lot of improvement within him. And so that's what happens. So that's a really good thing. Now, the other question that he had is about the stopping the run. I want to say that Roy Robertson-Harris has been an absolute monster 2 weeks in a row, and he was responsible for tearing the bicep tendon of the left
Rashawn
tackle
Slater.
Of the Chargers.
Yeah.
You know, they lock out, and he takes Rashawn's arm, and because they lock each other out, and then he violently jacks the arm up of Rashawn Slater, and it just ripped his tendon, his bicep tendon. I mean, I don't know how it happens, but, I mean, look, Roy is so strong and was so violent on that play that it literally tore the bicep tendon of Rashawn
Slater.
And he's
done for the year.
Done for the year.
Yeah.
And Roy absolutely dominated the guys up front once again. Devon Hamilton has made – you know, I kind of have been critical of him in the last couple of years because I wanted to see more dog in that fight. And this year, I give him credit now. He is playing much better. He's rushing the passer better. He's getting pressure again on a consistent basis like he did last week. He did it again this week. And Fadakasi's just a – you know, these guys, you're not going to see this defensive line. When I say defensive line, I'm talking about the big guys. You know, the Fadakasi, the Devon Hamilton, Roy Robertson-Harris, and Gotsis, they're not going to just sit there and fill up the stat category, but their impact is going to be felt in other ways because they're allowing other guys to make plays. And they're just playing so stout up front that it's making this defense is what it is.
All right, on we go at 641-1010 to Larry in St. John's County. Larry, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I just want to make a real quick comment on what Jeff said a little bit earlier about who gets the credit and all this kind of stuff. You know, I think Mr. Khan does not get enough credit. The guy's been trying and trying for, what, 10, 12 years. And I just want to put a word out there for, you know, good for him. Good for Mr. Khan. And I think, you know, we should put a word out for him doing the best thing that he could do for the city. That makes sense?
Yeah, no, thank you, Larry. And that's kind of why I brought it up, is because, you know, none of this happens without his support and his guidance and his wallet. I mean, that's just a fact. So awesome job.
Yeah. Early Look, returns are great.
Yeah, we've talked about it over and over and over for all these years, right, Mike? I believe Shot Khan wants a winner in the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think he's been really bad at figuring out how to do that in the National Football League. And through the early returns for this version of the Jaguars are pretty good, and he does get credit for that if they are ultimately a good football team.
Well, and look, here, the reality is, too, it's three games.
Yep.
Okay, it's early. They got a long way to go. And it's a week-to-week game. Okay, going to use some of the terminology from Doug Peterson. And, okay, so what, now what? You know? But as I was talking, there were some fans that were in L.A. As we were leaving the stadium, we had to walk through the field to go to the other side of the stadium to catch the bus. And the stadium there has these ground-level suites that are just tremendous. You know, I mean, fans can be right there behind the bench area and see the action, and it's state-of-the-art suites that have all the amenities. And after the game, they're allowed to stay in there for hours to watch games on the TV and continue to eat and drink. And so as I'm walking across the field to head towards the bus, there were some Jaguar fans that had two suites that I could see on our side that I was walking on. And they're like, Jeff. So I walked over and I was talking with them. They're like, man, is it too early? And I'm like, what do you mean, is it too early? They're like, is it too early to get excited? I said, hell no. Be excited, man. I mean, when this team wins, enjoy every minute. Oh,
why would you? Right. I mean, look.
Well, I mean, I get the thought process that, look, this team has struggled for so long. You know, you won three games last year. The year before that, you won one. You've been the losingest team over the however many X number of years. But you know what? When the team plays good, enjoy the hell
Look,
out of it.
If they fall apart, you're going to hate it either way. So enjoy it while they seem to be pretty good right now.
Absolutely.
Right. All right. Let's go to Zach on the west side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning, guys. How we doing?
Excellent. What's up?
Man, it feels so good to win, doesn't it?
It does.
So, hey, quick question. First of all, this play calling has been unbelievable. It's something I've never seen here in Jacksonville. So has there been one particular play that makes you go like, wow, look at that? And do you think there's still more to come as far as this offense goes?
Oh, buddy. I mean, I can tell you this. They got stuff that's they save up that they're like, okay, we're going to break this out when we get to week four. Then we're going to save this until week five. We're going to save this package until week six. I mean, sure, there's absolutely some things that this offense has in their playbook, adjustments, twists, whatever you want to call it, that they're not showing yet because they want to keep some element of surprise. And you'll see offenses around the league have a little bit of that, but I think this is a little unique situation in that you have, you know, because I had this conversation last week with Doug, and I asked him, because I know that when he was in Philadelphia, he's got him, he's got Press Taylor, he's got Frank Reich, he's got some really good offensive minds and guys that not only played the game but coached it for many years. And I said, you go back and you look at that time in Philadelphia and then you compare it to what you have now with the coaching staff that you have now with, you know, Rauscher is your offensive line coach, Press Taylor, your offensive coordinator, Mike McCoy, who was former head coach, who's your quarterback's coach. You've got Jim Bob Cooter, who was a former offensive coordinator with the Lions, who's the passing game coordinator. Bernie Parmalee, who's been around the league for a very long time. Chris Jackson, I mean, all of these coaches that have great experience, some from playing standpoint, some not. But, and I said, how does this compare to the one that you had in Philadelphia that won you a Super Bowl? And he said, without even hesitation, this is the best by far. Which I think speaks volumes for Doug to be able to assemble, I think, a strong staff, because I think a lot of times coaches can be somewhat, I think, deterred from having strong other voices on their side of the ball. You know, for example, like Doug Peterson being an offensive guy, he's going to go out and get a big, strong defensive mind. But, you know, hey, look, it's my offense. I know what I'm doing on offense. I'm going to get me a bunch of yes men on offense. Doug doesn't believe in that. Doug believes in, he doesn't believe in dissension, but he believes in a lot of new ideas and some ideas that maybe contradict his own. He thinks that that's the only way that you grow. And so that's been, that was very revealing. I think it was a pretty strong statement that he had. And it's not like, you know, this team has been winning 5 or 6 or 7, 8 games in a row and he's making that statement just because he's living in the moment.
Right.
He said this after his team won the first game and that's it. I mean, that's, so I was very impressed by that statement.
Well, let's hope that he is prophetic and it plays out exactly like that.
I mean, look at the Wildcat play that they had last week. You don't think that they might have a few more plays kind of off of
I'm expecting Dan Arnold to throw Trevor Lawrence a touchdown this week.
If we don't
get the Duval special, something terribly wrong.
I think there's a lot of things that they can do with the tight end package because you have a very athletic guy in Dan Arnold that you really haven't put out there much yet. And we know from seeing him last year, he's pretty good. You know, and then also with Jamal Agnew and Travis Etienne and James Robinson, you know, we could see that probably maybe some more packages with those three guys on the field, some in the backfield, maybe some out, and how they start and how they end up. I mean, there's a lot of creative things that they could do there as well.
All right, let's get one more in before we hit the top of the hour here. Sam and Nocatee going to join us on Jaguars today. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Jeff, just real quick, I was pretty heavy critic on Taylor last year. And he's really come around this year. What do you attribute that to? I mean, he's really looking good. And I'm, you know, I was tough on him last year, but I'll jump on the bandwagon this year. You know,
well, I was, and I think you know, look, I was tough on him too, you know, and I'm not going to deny that because I think, Sam, that he deserved to be tough on him. He didn't play very well. And he's having a very, very good start to his year. His pass protection has been outstanding. I still believe that his run blocking can get significantly better. It's not good enough for him yet. I think it can be better. And I think there's a couple different reasons as to why. Juwan talked about how he lost his father recently back in January, and he's kind of dedicated the season to him. I think that's a reason. I think also that the competition has helped, and if anybody's going to say or if he said the competition didn't have an impact, you're crazy. Competition always makes people better. You also have the financial motivation and that, okay, what's next for me? My contract is up, and if I don't play well, then my value goes down. If I play better, my value goes up. And I also think that the last thing is that when you have a setting and an environment that's conducive to getting better from a coaching staff and a culture standpoint, that helps. And damn good coaching helps as well. And I think Phil Rauscher is a really good football coach. He's been around the game for quite some time. I think what he teaches as far as angles and sets for the offensive line is significant improvement. Used to see Juwan set with a lot more depth, and now he's setting with more of an angle, like a 45-degree angle instead of a steeper angle, like an 80, 75-degree angle pass set. And that's coaching. So all of those things combined, I think, has allowed him to get better. But again, he's got a lot of room for improvement in the run blocking game.
All right, good question, good answer. Thank you, Sam, and everybody else on the line. Your patience is appreciated. Stay there, and we will get to you coming up in hour number two with Jeff Loggeman on a Check the Tape Victory Tuesday. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett was involved in a one-car accident last night. The good news is Garrett's injuries were not life-threatening. He was discharged from the hospital last night. He swerved to avoid an animal on a wet road and overcorrected, car flipped multiple times. More tests are ongoing to determine the extent of his injuries, I can tell you he was wearing a seatbelt if the car flipped multiple times, and he's going to be okay walking away from it. Los Angeles Chargers offensive tackle Rashawn Slater suffered a ruptured biceps tendon Sunday against the Jaguars, is expected to miss the rest of the year. San Francisco offensive tackle Trent Williams has a high ankle sprain. No official word from the team regarding how much time he may miss yet, but that is an injury that usually requires at least a month to return from. Tests have confirmed that New England quarterback Mac Jones suffered what is being called a pretty severe high ankle sprain. They're hoping that he can avoid surgery on the injury. Detroit running back DeAndre Swift has a shoulder injury. Lions head coach Dan Campbell said yesterday that Swift might benefit from having time off and returning after the bye week. Detroit has their bye in week 6, which would mean at least 2 games without Swift for the Lions. And Miami quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, who left their win over Buffalo on Sunday briefly for a head injury but returned, which has created some controversy, is also dealing with a back issue, an ankle issue. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel was non-committal yesterday when asked about Tua's availability to play against Cincinnati. That is Thursday Night Football this week.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Tony. I saw one prediction column at CBS Sports, by the way, that thinks there will be no undefeated teams left after this week. You do the calculus on what that means for your Jaguars. It shouldn't be difficult. Picking the Jags to beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. Oh, the nation is swept up in Jaguar fever right now. Let's go to Green Cove Springs and welcome David to a Check the Tape Tuesday. David, good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air, David.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Hey, I just want to say that you know, I give Shad Khan a lot of credit for hiring Dougie P and, you know, sticking with Jacksonville, keeping the team in Jacksonville. But as far as the team goes and what the team looks like, Doug Peterson deserves 95% of the credit, with 5% going to his coaching staff. What I see in this team is the culture change. And I'll go so far as to say if Doug Peterson was here, we probably wouldn't even have drafted Jalen Ramsey, because he's not the type of player that Doug likes. And, you know, Jalen goes to a team that I watched him all of last year play when they were on TV. And I'm telling you, the teammates don't like him. They appreciate his talent, but they don't like him as a person. But I'm going to get off that. I'll diverge from that. But what I'm saying is I like the fact that these guys are playing like a team, and you don't see any me players out there. And you can look no farther than Dallas to see that you can have all talent in the world, but if you don't play like a team, you play like an individual, it doesn't necessarily transfer.
Your comment about Dallas, I don't know if Dallas has that much talent or not. I mean, that's kind of debatable, but I don't think there's any doubt that they are and will continue to look for players that are a little bit unique, and that they are about football, they're about business, that they're not about themselves, that they love ball, that they're committed, that they're smart. And they believe that that's the type of players that you win with. And, you know, there's other teams that have won with other players. I mean, it's you can't argue that there's only one way to make it work. But for an organization that has had a difficult recent history of losing, there's only one way to change it, and that's with good people.
Right. And, well, in the case of Jalen, I can't speak for whether his Rams teammates like him or not, but I know they like those Super Bowl rings, right? I mean, so there's case in point right there. There's a larger-than-life personality you can feel however you like, and I do about Jalen Ramsey, but you can't deny the talent. You can't deny the fact that they were able to basically go out there, bring in a piece from here, piece from there, piece from everywhere, and it doesn't always mix that well right away, but it did last year.
And I can tell you that there probably are a lot of guys that can't stand Jalen, but when he makes an interception or a big play, they love him.
Sure.
You know, that's kind of sometimes how it works when you've got a great player that may not be your favorite locker room guy. Sometimes you just kind of put up with him just because you know that he can help you. But what scares you is that you also know that he can hurt you, and that's a little concerning.
He can be volatile.
Yeah, a little. Yeah.
Jeez. All right, Matt in Orlando next up on the hit list. Matt, you are on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Thank you for letting me on the show. I'm outside getting ready for this hurricane, and I was just sitting here thinking about a few things to say, but I want to get this off my chest right now. Philly ain't safe up there. Just because the hurricane's down here, we got a hurricane coming right up to him. We got 60-mile-hour winds coming out of Trevor Lawrence's hand, hitting Zay Jones, hitting Kirk. Then we got 100-mile-hour winds coming out off the defensive line, and Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker. Sorry, I'm tired. I've been...
Now, yeah, you got a good concept. I'm a little shaky on the execution, but we see where you're going with it.
Yeah, yeah. I just have one question, guys. I've been following this team for a very long time. I've never seen a mentality like this. They don't even waste a second after a win. They're just like, on to the next one, on to the next one, on to the next one. And I love that about them. My question to you, Jeff, and guys, what is it going to take for us to beat Philly this weekend? And I'll take your comments off the air.
All right.
What it's going to take, I think it's going to take exactly what you've been doing the last couple weeks, which is having – really, really great quarterback play, efficient on offense, not making mistakes that beat you both offensively and defensively. The takeaways has to continue. I mean, those are all secrets to success in the National Football League, and I don't think there's a whole lot of secrets to it. You know, one of the areas I think that has been fun for me to watch, because I think a lot of it goes to the metrics and the statistics and the analytics or whatever you want to call that, is the fourth downs. And Doug Peterson has been very brash, has been very aggressive on fourth down. And when you look at their numbers, they've converted 4 out of 7 fourth downs, and yet defensively they haven't allowed one conversion out of 4 attempts now. That has actually become one of the strong indicators of a team's success nowadays, believe it or not, which is kind of surprising, because we never really looked at the fourth down stat is, okay, does that make a team good or not? But Doug's been very aggressive and at times has been very successful with the fourth down opportunities. And I think his team feeds off of that. I think they enjoy that, because it gives them the impression that coach believes in us. Whether you go for it on offense and you don't make it and you expect your defense to rally, or offensively you're saying, hey, our coach believes in us because he knows we can make it. And I think that that's a pretty interesting thing, and it's, you know, part of the new NFL thing, you know, mm-hmm. that fourth down and aggressiveness, and, you know, you compare that to Philadelphia's, you know, because I was kind of curious watching how this has been progressing with the Jaguars, and Philadelphia's in the same boat. They've converted 4 of 6, and we're one of the undefeated teams in the National Football League. You look at them defensively, they only allowed 1 of 3. You know, so there's something to that. I don't know if it's a complete indicator like turnover differential can be, but I think it goes to some of the way, or some of the new ways that they approach football today.
Yeah, I think Carson Wentz is a mobile enough quarterback, but he didn't really hurt them with his legs in that Week 1 game. And I think these last 2 weeks you have – Herbert's an athletic guy, but maybe limited with the injury. He moved around well enough in the pocket to be an effective passer potentially on Sunday, but he doesn't threaten you with his legs in anywhere near the same kind of way that Jalen Hurts potentially can on Sunday.
Right.
How do you expect him to try to defend that?
Well, I'm hoping that Trayvon Walker has a tackle on him like he had this past week against Eckler. That's what I'm hoping.
He has a couple.
You know, because, you know, the reality is that quarterbacks, when they run, they can be treated like a running back. Mm-hmm. And if you pass that opportunity up, I think you're making a really big mistake. If you can tattoo Jalen Hurts when he decides to run, tattoo him. You know? I mean, if he's going to
save him for the rest of the year, if you know what I'm saying. Okay. It doesn't have to be good this week, but don't kill the man. All right.
So.
Short-term injuries.
But it does. I mean, quarterbacks that have mobility, because Jalen's the second leading rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Sure.
And he's a very effective runner. Now, you've got to make sure, and it just provides another dimension that you have to prepare for. You know, when you're pass rushing Matt Ryan, who gives a crap about rush lanes? Because he ain't going anywhere.
Right.
You know, Justin Herbert, you know he's not going anywhere because he got busted ribs. You know, but this guy this week, that's a different story. He's not Lamar Jackson, but he's pretty damn good at running the football.
He's the closest thing to it right now. And, you know, by the way, if you look at his numbers, you're like, oh, that's pretty impressive what he's done. He basically has not had to throw the ball in the second half for 2 weeks in a row, right? Because their defense shut down Minnesota and Washington in back-to-back weeks. He had 277 yards passing in the first half this week against Washington.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an opponent the Jags just played 2 weeks ago, and he went, just did anything he wanted against them. And then in the second half, threw for like 50 yards because they just had him at arm's length the whole time. So his numbers could be eye-popping if their defense was giving up more points right now and they had to match scores with teams. All right, let's do this. Let's take a timeout so we don't get too off schedule here. If you're on the line, show patience, and I promise you we will get to you at 641-1010. There must be an Amber Alert going off or a weather alert. What do we
storm
got?
Storm surge warning, yeah.
Storm surge warning where? What do we have? That's all it says?
It's just for Florida. That's right. The way it looks. Yeah.
Be careful,
where the
Florida.
Phones are a bit buzzing.
Right, be careful, Florida. There's a big storm coming if you haven't realized that at this point in time. 641-1010, phone lines and text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, and we'll get to some of your tweets as well with questions for Jeff Loggeman on a Check the Tape Victory Tuesday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Jeff Loggeman Tuesday is kept running better than ever by Famous Automotive Tire and Quick Lube, servicing every customer like they're famous on 1010XL.
Is that Aussie right there?
Not
you
bad.
Get my throat clearing right there, clear through the microphone?
No, it wouldn't be it.
How about that?
Gotcha.
You get that one? All right, thank you. I just wanted to make sure you got that loud and clear that I'm ready to speak as we continue on here. Jaguars said, I was just kind of floating along there, wasn't sure what we were doing. Oh, hey, we're going to do more radio?
I ain't give it to.
No, that's me. That's me. It's all good. 641-1010 is the number to get on board. And obviously, you've got a lot of questions today for Jeff Loggeman. We'll get right back to your calls in a moment. That's the Chad and Sandy Real Estate question of the day. Multiple offers on your home in 3 days or sold free. You can visit them online at chadandsandy.com. And tons of questions coming in. Obviously, for Jeff, I've got one myself. E.T., let's do it in the form of a 10-10 take.
10-10
take.
Now, the 10-10 take with Mike Dempsey, brought to you by Northern Tool. Start solving your projects today at northerntool.com. We're made for this.
All right, Logs, let me just ask you, I know you can't know definitively what the final outcome will be on all this stuff, but what are some of the challenges the team's facing this week with Hurricane Ian looking to make its mark on Florida?
Yeah, the preparation is always going to be very liquid and constantly changing, and I think that can obviously distract from a normal preparation. And so the practices, the travel plans, and worrying about family, I mean, all of those things, I think, when you put it on one plate, it's a lot to handle for a team, you know, preparing for their biggest game yet, which is the first playoff team that they will face from a year ago. So this is something that's going to be, I think, on a lot of people's minds when you start looking at predictions and how well they will play against this team. But you know, I've also seen a situation like this kind of bond a team together and allow it to focus together because they don't have time to celebrate mm-hmm. their past victory. So it could have a positive effect as well. But look, I just hope that, just throwing this out there, that all of our listeners, all the players, the families, et cetera, everybody, that we're all going to get through this okay.
All right, absolutely. Let's move along here. Steven Melbourne. Next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good. What's up?
I got two questions for Logs. This weekend, we're going against a very, I think they're like top three offensive line. And just for our edge rushers, like you said, keep the rush lane closed, set the edges with those guys, and try and contain Jalen Hurts and basically have our linebackers just spying on him every now and then. But also, you know, this game, Luke Fortner is having a reunion battle with Jordan Davis in the front. I mean, how do you just handle that mammoth of a man in the middle?
That's a good question. First off, we'll start with Philly's offensive line. Kelce is about as good of a center as that there's been in the league for a long time, been extremely solid. Lane Johnson, arguably one of the best right tackles in the game. And then Jordan Mailata is the, without a doubt, and there's no argument, he's the largest human being you will ever see playing left tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles. This guy is 6'8", 370 pounds, and when you stand next to him, you just feel inferior. Mm-hmm. I've been around him like, good God, man. But, yeah, good offensive line. When you talk about them, are they one of the best? Well, look, the reality is they're a top five scoring offense. They're the number one yardage output offense in the National Football League. They have the number one rated quarterback in the National Football League, arguably the best combination at quarterback as far as arm and legs. Now, this is a challenging week. And then the flip side, you were talking about, I can't remember exactly what it was again. The defensive or the offensive.
Talking about Jordan Davis versus Fortner. Yeah.
Jordan Davis versus Fortner. First off, let me say this about Fortner, who was the worst-ranked center in the league prior to this past game, had a significant jump in performance this week. I thought it was really good. And I thought that he was stronger. He was more decisive. He pass-blocked better. He run-blocked. I thought it was just overall a good performance, good improvement. And I, of course, always, after I watch the film, then when all of the results come out from PFF, you kind of go and you check them out just to see what your eyes seeing, mm-hmm. are they accurate? And according to PFF, Fortner's grade was right about middle of the pack, which is an improvement because he had been at the bottom. So big step up for him. And Jordan Davis is a giant man. He is having, from what I understand, and I haven't turned the film on yet of Philadelphia. I've just been reading up and studying some of the stuff that you can find from a number standpoint. But everybody is saying that his performance is putting him at one of the best in the rookie class, period.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Look, I think the box score can fool you sometimes, right? Which is, teams are obviously doing the kind of research that PFF is doing to get ready week to week.
Sure.
You know, and they've been doing that for a long time, and it's a great resource for fans to have that, to have something else to be able to look at, because you look at a box score, for instance, this week, Josh Allen in the box score had one assist, right. You know, in that football game, and he had a way bigger impact on that football game than one assist. They had one sack
right.
in that football game, but they were obviously more effective getting after Herbert than only having that one sack, so it can fool you sometimes if that's all you're looking at.
Yeah, and it helped with Josh because when Slater goes out, they put in Storm Norton, who, and I said this in a broadcast, I said, well, get your fishing poles out. Mm-hmm. There's a fish at left tackle. Mm-hmm. And because he's not very good.
Yeah.
And from watching Storm Norton, because he had to play right tackle the previous week when Pipkins went out and he had a foot injury, and he wasn't very good at right tackle. And historically, if a guy sucks at right, he's going to suck more at left.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, so when and he came
gotta,
in, I was like, all right,
you
got to
take advantage of it. And they did.
Absolutely.
Here's one. I just want to pass this along from the text line. Cause it's always, I don't know where people get this idea. You go, salary cap. Anyone in your radio office keeping track of the total? Well, no, but that's why they have websites that do that. For us, are the Jags going to self-destruct with the cap? I'll listen to see if you respond. You're probably not allowed to if they're a cap bust in 2023. So you think we're not allowed to say anything negative about the Jags? How do you think we existed for the last 13 years? Honest to God. Like, come on.
Did you listen to any show last year?
I mean, are you serious? Like, you think we're not allowed? Oh, my gosh, you better not mention that they're over the cap next year projected because what? Because that might dampen enthusiasm. No. Who are the overlords right. that are telling us this, Tony?
This
we show up and talk about whatever the hell we want on
right.
a daily
they
basis.
They signed Zay Jones, and we're like, why? Why would they sign this guy for that contract when you could have gone and got DJ Chark? We were wrong, right, about it when it comes to them actually getting on the field, but it's not like we haven't expressed the negative opinion about this football team constantly for the past
decade. No, and look, here right now the Jags are projected to be like $6 or $7 million, maybe $10 million over the cap next year, okay?
Yeah, that's easy to fix.
If you release Shaq Griffin this offseason, you're about $6 million under the cap. That's just one possible way to do it. You can restructure a bunch of guys. The cap can go up higher than the projection is right now. You can release a few. There are all kinds of ways. Maybe they won't make the kind of free agent splash that they made, and quite likely they won't. They won't have the cap space to do that.
Right.
But that doesn't mean this team is going to implode after 1 year. The one thing the Jags have done over the last several years, I think, Logs, has done a good job keeping an eye on this, that it's never really become an issue for them.
No, they have, and look, the $323 million that I referred to about spending in free agency, that's for the most part, it's not like you're committed to all $323 million.
Right.
You know, the Jaguars have done an exceptional job of cap management from the standpoint of they've always been able to have wiggle room in free agency. And I think part of the reason for that is that they have hired people to handle the cap that are really good. And I'll say this. I mean, Tony Khan, when it comes to understanding numbers and cap management, is brilliant. And Tim Walsh, who has been around cap management for a long time, is brilliant. So if you're sitting there worried about this football team from a cap standpoint next year, you need to find something better to do.
All right, let's get Leo on the south side. We'll take a break. We'll come back with one more segment with Jeff Logman on a Check the Tape victory Tuesday. Leo, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, y'all. Hey, Mike and Jeff. I really appreciate all your insight, Jeff. And I appreciate your show on Saturday, too, man. I listen to it. I get up. That's appointment Saturday radio. Hey, look, so right about Mr. Khan making the right hires. So true. Because Peterson is the absolute right hire. You made some great points, Jeff, I wanted to hit on, because I wanted to call in about it. You talked about the chess match with the other coach for the Chargers and that double team, how he picked up on that. And then another thing you mentioned about the defensive lineman that tore the bicep. Didn't we have a guy, or I don't want to say guy, I can't think of his name, defensive lineman that hurt an offensive lineman bending backwards either in the preseason or in the early part of the season? That shows me that physical, violent, but disciplined team also shows me some really good things. About them making all the adjustments, can I give out just a quick story? Just got a phone from my mom. She's from here, but she moved away to Maryland. She called me, and I missed her call Sunday, of course. She goes, first thing she says, she goes, hey, what's going on down there? Y'all got a new staff or something. First thing she said, she's not around. She didn't even know we had a new coach. She didn't know anything about Peterson. I explained everything to her. She's like, oh, I can tell. First thing she said, y'all got to meet. They can tell. Other people around the nation, not Duval, can see the difference. And from now on going forward, I know this team can win. You know what I'm looking at going forward? I'm looking at my coach versus your coach. And I like us this week. Only coach that fears me going for the rest of the schedule is Andy Reid. I like what Peterson. I think he's going to come up with a good game plan. I think he's going to, like you said, find that chess match, find the weakness in the opponent. And I think he's going to, even if we don't blow this team out, it's going to be close. And I like the 6.5 they're giving. That 6.5, yeah, I think we're going to cover that. And I made a mistake Sunday night. I called in and I said, I called him Greg Lloyd. I apologize, man, of Devin Lloyd. I was drinking them long neck Sunday, man. I apologize about that. That dude is better than Miles Jack and Telvin Smith. That's why I said this team is better than that 2017. That guy alone, okay, the things he's doing. Now, maybe that secondary was a little bit better, but I like this team. That defensive front, okay? I match guy for guy. I like this team a lot better. Hey, I thank you for the call. I thank you for y'all's insight, man, and y'all keep doing a good job. It's a great team, man. I think it's the best team in the league. Seriously, I'm not just saying that. And I think we're going to win this week. I think we're going to put the Eagles at 3-1. We're going to 3-1, and all the good teams are going 3-1 this week.
Thank you, Leo. Appreciate it. Look, if they win this week, first of all, Cincinnati plays Miami on Thursday night. Right, Bengals are 3.5-point favorite in that game. Jags win in Philly. They have every right to claim that they're the best team in the league.
Sure.
Right, there'll be no undefeated teams. You'll have beaten one of the last ones and done it on the road. You'll have done it against two preseason favorites in back-to-back weeks. And yeah, so still got to do it, though. And it's not, you may have the better coach. You may believe in it. The Patriots had Bill Belichick all those years. They didn't win every game.
Nope.
Right? And all those coaches that beat him weren't, quote-unquote, better coaches than Bill Belichick. So,
right.
I mean, you know, it's not just a, hey, we got Doug Peterson, we're going to win them all now because we like the matchup at the head coaching position. They got some pretty good players up there in Philly.
I think this is kind of an interesting game also from the standpoint of, you know, Doug Peterson's return to Philadelphia, Howie Roseman, the general manager that is still in place, is the one that fired Doug Peterson and hired Nick Sirianni. The Frank Reich kind of thing that's out there, you know, because Sirianni was the offensive coordinator under Frank Reich in Indianapolis, whereas Doug and Frank worked together in Philadelphia when they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, you always call, you like to call a coach who faced the team previously. So is Doug Peterson calling Frank to get any insight on Sirianni? Is Sirianni calling Frank Reich to get any insight on Doug Peterson?
Yeah, you might have to be Switzerland this week if you're Frank Reich, you know.
But, I mean, I think this game has – I mean, if you're Doug Peterson, look, you're human. This game means a lot. I mean, you won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, and you got fired.
Sure.
By the general manager.
Yeah, basically, they chose Carson Wentz over you. So,
and
but then again, Carson Wentz did beat you this year. So,
and that's I think that. That makes it so interesting from a personal standpoint, because if I'm Doug Peterson, I'm going to pull out some mojo.
By the way, Frank Reich, I'm totally wrong. Frank Reich will help Nick Sirianni all day because, you know, not helping the Jags. Are you kidding me? I mean, he's not helping a team in his division. No way. Mm-hmm. One that he may be battling for a playoff spot with late in the season. He'd help Philadelphia in any way he could this week. I don't know how much help the guy who was on the losing end of 24-0 could give you, but, hey, they're really good. Watch out. All right.
Get his game plan.
Right. We'll come back and read through some of your social media questions for Jeff Logman and give you answers to those on a Check the Tape Victory Tuesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jeff Logman Tuesday is kept running better than ever by Famous Automotive Tire and Quick Lube, servicing every customer like they're famous on 1010XL.
All right, a Check the Tape Victory Tuesday coming down the home stretch here, Logs. I've got a stack of them on social media for you, so let's go rapid fire to close out the program today. This is from King of the North. I feel like people are focusing on the sack numbers, but is it not really valuable to have Herbert throwing into the dirt and the Chargers getting flagged for false starts? Basically, he's saying, is the pressure they're getting, at least the way I interpret it, enough, even if it doesn't result in sacks?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's impactful. I mean, when you look at the takeaway numbers, I mean, that's largely due in part to some of the pressure that they've been able to get as a defense. Now, would you like to see some numbers come out in the sack department? Yeah, and I think part of that will come. And this team also is still, I think, one player away from being a really dominant pass rushing team. When I say one player away, you got to have a dominant inside presence. And when you get that, I think that this team will be like, holy cow, hold on.
All right, this one from Andrew. What does Trayvon Walker need to do to take the next step in
his
development?
Just doing exactly what he's doing. I mean, he's still a dominant force in the run game. He's still impactful in the pass game. He had a pass defense and coverage this pass game that was really nice. Got a couple pressures. I mean, just keep doing what he's doing. And to me, I think that he is, ahead of my expectations of where he was at. And he's really learned, I think, how to have power on the edges of people. And sometimes it takes guys a while to learn that. So he's doing just fine. He just needs to continue to keep progressing like he's doing.
All right, next one from Joshua. Which player do you think is next up in regards to having a big breakout game?
That's a great question. I just think anybody can have a big breakout game. I think at some point we're going to see Arden Key have a big impact as a pass rusher. And he got close a couple times this past game. I think Smoot finally broke out this past game with the sack cause fumble. And he's a guy that I think can definitely be capable of making plays like that. You know, and I think ETN. I think we're only seeing just a little bit of the tip of the iceberg with ETN. I think we're going to see ETN, and I said this during the game broadcast, at some point we're going to see this rocket dust coming off of the back of his jersey as he is just outrunning everybody to the end zone. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be really explosive for this offense going forward.
All right, from Meta World Crazy, should I be worried about the Eagles' O-line stopping the Jags' pass rush and Jalen Hurts shredding the secondary with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, should you be worried? Yeah, I mean, Philadelphia is a good football team. I mean, many people think that they're the best team in football. Should you be worried? Yeah. Yeah, because this is another level. You know, I think the Chargers were a higher level than the Colts, and then now you go to another level with the Philadelphia Eagles, because not only are they good offensively, but they got 9 sacks on Carson Wentz this past week. And defensively, they've got some really good football players across the front. And like I said, I haven't watched the film yet, but the last time I checked, Fletcher Cox was still a really good football player. Brandon Graham had, I think, 2.5 sacks this past game, and he is a little long in tooth, but he's obviously still got some gas left in the tank. They got some players now.
One more here from Leland. How is the secondary playing, specifically the safeties?
Pretty good. I mean, I think that they can take – I think there's another step for the secondary. And they've been really good so far, solid as far as, you know, not having any guys running free, which we saw that at times last year and the last 2 years in reality. And so that part has been impressive. And, you know, you got to remember, too, that, you know, this secondary is still somewhat young. I mean, Cisco will get only his 7th start in his career coming up this week, and Tyson Campbell still relatively young. Darius Williams is new to this defense. I think he's got another step to take. I think he was kind of off on a couple plays, and he had a couple good plays with pass defense, but I think there's a couple plays that he's got to be better at. And Rayshon Jenkins, I think, has been playing pretty solid, and that's been fun to watch, because I don't know if you guys have ever been around Rayshon, but he's got a really natural positive energy to him that's fun to be around.
All right, Logs. Some say you have that as well. I don't know who those people are, but is the weather wreaking havoc with your schedule this week?
Yeah, you know, there's going to be some change ups, you know, and I think right now Jaguars All Access, which we always do Thursday at Strings, we were talking about moving it, but I think now we're just going to cancel it, and then I think we're looking at doing an hour show special next week to make up for that half an hour. We're still kind of waiting to see what happens on Thursday for Happy Hour and the Doug Peterson show. So yeah, just kind of hang tight, and, you know, we have to adapt and adjust and kind of go with the flow.
Well, I tell you, I'm all for a third consecutive Victory Tuesday next week.
I'm all for it.
So let's bring that home from the city of brotherly love. Logs, have a great week.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there he goes. Jeff Loggeman on a Check the Tape Victory Tuesday. As we wrap up, let's welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-Minute Drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping the sports world spinning with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, Mia O'Brien is here from XL Primetime. Good morning, Mia.
Good morning. How are we doing, boys?
We're great. Jags are winning. Nothing to complain about on that front, so we've certainly been through a lot worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
This hurricane's got nothing on us. We've been through the past 5 years.
Hurricane.
We're fine.
Yeah.
We're fine.
We'll see.
I do want to note, we're monitoring the situation, and we will be throughout the course of XL Primetime. Potential for the Florida Gator game to be moved to Sunday. So, because of the hurricane.
They'd like that one to probably be moved.
So, we 20, will.
23, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Eastern Washington. Who
I don't
cares?
Know right now, man.
Right. It's the EWUs. How are the EWUs going to get to town is what I want.
How are
know.
They compared to South Florida would be my
that's
question.
That's a really good question. You know, I think Oregon beat
I know how
them.
South Florida is compared to
Bo
Louisville because I saw that game this
Bo
week.
Bo Nix beat the EWUs, I believe. So, if Bo Nix can beat them, I have faith that
okay.
Anthony Richardson can take care of business.
There you go. Have your expectations for the Jags changed dramatically based on the first 3 weeks?
I am trying to keep the same approach as Doug Peterson, which is measured, which is so what, now what? Show us what you got this week, and then maybe we'll make another decision about 30,000 foot views after this, but in reality, it's just 1 week at a time. So I'm kind of keeping that approach, but yes, certainly. My views have changed, Mike, quite frankly, because I've seen the rest of the AFC South. And I've seen the NFC East.
Big
and,
part of it.
And outside of the Philadelphia Eagles, and quite frankly, even the AFC West to an extent, no one really scares me all that much, knowing what this Jaguars team has in its back pocket. So long as Trevor Lawrence continues to develop, and so long as defenses don't come up with a way to somehow double mark, you know, to somehow block in both Zay Jones and Christian Kirk, but even then you have Evan Ingram, you have James Robinson, Travis Etienne. I think this team is proving it has a lot more weapons than previously thought.
All right, what do you guys have coming up today?
Oh, well, we got a lot going on. Again, we're going to keep you posted not only on the weather situation when it comes to the Florida Gators, but we're also going to be keeping you posted on high school football. A lot of those games getting moved to tonight and tomorrow, so we'll hit some previews of that. And we really didn't get to go into the college game full-heartedly yesterday, so we're going to wrap up the week that was in college football, too.
Sounds like a full show. Me, have a good one.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. XL Primetime coming up for the next 3 hours. Tony, what's the story with Bulls football?
Bulls football is playing tomorrow afternoon at Episcopal at 4 o'clock, and we'll be on the 10:10 a.m. stream for the game tomorrow, so we will be doing the game.
Beauty. Get it in, get it done, have a free Friday night. How about that?
Yep, trying to survive the storm.
Batten down the hatches.
Ride the waves.
On Friday night.
Storm,
hopefully we'll be just fine by the time it gets here, crossing over all that land as it tends to do. All we can do is prepare and hope for the best. All right, everybody, that'll do it for us. Thanks to Jeff Loggeman and all of you out there with your many questions. I thought a lot of excellent ones today on a Check the Tape Tuesday. Tomorrow, Johnny O, and we move closer to Jags and the Philadelphia Eagles. For Tony Smith and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Start taking care of y'all mantles, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken.